Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It is wonderful to have your company for another episode of the show. Most of you would have heard by now that we have recently launched the Savvy Dentist magazine, which we've been really delighted with the uptake of and really excited to bring to you. The Savvy Dentist magazine is, or it's actually been something that's been rattling around my head for years and years, ever since we started the podcast, actually. And the whole idea of the magazine is to continue in that theme of not invented here, because I really believe that some of the best ideas for dentists and dentistry come from outside of our profession. So the magazine, it was born with that same DNA of examining what's happening in the broader business world and making that relevant to dentists and dentistry. But we also talk to other experts who support dentists in their journeys to grow their practice, whether it's accountants, lawyers, IT people, property, location, strategy. We're talking about fit outs and how to make sure we've got a well-functioning workspace, marketing, of course, and a whole lot of other things, lawyers, etc. And so we want to make sure that the magazine is there to support you on your journey as you grow your practice, as you scale your practice, and you start creating a life for yourself as well. So if you want to get a copy of the magazine, it's totally free. We've made it free so that we can support as many people as we can. We want to make sure you've got all the resources you need to go ahead and grow your business. Now, to get a copy of the magazine, all you need to do is go to SavvyDentist.com, find the tab that says magazine, and subscribe there. You can get the magazine either as a hard copy in print format, or you can get the digital copy if you prefer that as well. As I said, either which way you go with that is totally free, whether it's hard copy or digital. And so if that's going to be useful to you, and I really hope it is, please head across to SavvyDentist.com, find the magazine tab and subscribe there, and we'll get that magazine to you in your hot little hands. We've released edition one, which was the winter edition for 2023. That edition is digital only, and we did a limited print run for our Savvy Dentist clients, but from edition two, it's going to be print as well as digital. So I hope you find that really helpful. Now, today, I wanted to have a conversation with you about a really important topic, and that is money, specifically cash flow. We know that the economic circumstances are changing pretty rapidly as we speak, and I know that there's some people that are a bit concerned about their money. So I wanted to take a few moments to talk about cash flow, how to maximize it, and some things to consider on that journey. Now, one of the things I want to share with you is probably something that many of you would know, but I'm not sure that many people or everyone acts upon. Cash flow is the oxygen that keeps a business alive. Cash flow is the lifeblood of a business. Without cash flow, the business absolutely dies. And so what we need to be able to understand then is, you know, how do we generate cash flow? How do we manage cash flow? And I think that's what I'd like to spend a few moments talking about today. So when it comes to, you know, cash flow, we need to understand that cash flow is not profit. Cash flow is real money into the bank account that you can use at your disposal to support the business. It's not things like non-cash deductions like depreciation, other things like that. So we've got to understand there's a difference between profit and cash flow, and it's real money in, real money out. That's the kind of money that I could take to the bank and withdraw if I needed to. That's what I'm talking about. So when it comes to cash flow, we do need to think about how to generate our revenue, of course. And, you know, all of us have the activities that we have in our practice, you know, seeing patients, providing dental care and so on. But one of the things I think is really important to understand is when you think about, you know, increasing revenue, there's really, you know, lots of different strategies or lots of different tactics, I should say, that you could look at. And I know that it's really easy to kind of get caught up with this tactic or that tactic or see an ad on Instagram that's going to, you know, show you how to get, you know, this number of, you know, new patients and X amount of revenue in three short days or whatever it is. And, you know, that may be true, may not be, I'm not sure, but, you know, whatever it is, it is. But for me, all of those ideas are simply tactics. And what I really want to do is to take a slightly higher level look at that. I want to start thinking about what are the big levers that we have to pull when it comes to revenue generation. And of course, when it comes to revenue generation, there's really only three levers that we can pull if we want to increase our revenue. The first of those levers is we want to be able to see more patients. And so that would include, you know, making sure our marketing is on point, and maybe it is, you know, running some advertising, whether it's Facebook ads or Google ads or whatever it is. It couldn't be, you know, generating more patients through referrals and word of mouth. It could be making sure that we tidy up our recall system and make sure we plug those leaks. Maybe it's reactivation. Maybe it's just preventing cancellations, you know, whatever it is. Maybe it's about capacity. Maybe it's about adding chairs. Maybe it's about opening longer hours or splitting shifts or whatever it is. So we've got the ability to see more patients. Maybe we've got more patients on our books that we can than we can manage. And what I will say to you, if you do have a capacity issue, your patient base will only get as large as your capacity to treat it. And if you have more patients coming through than you can manage and you don't do anything to manage your capacity, then your patient base will ultimately hover around that level. People come, people go. So the first big lever that we have when it comes to maximizing revenue is see more patients. The second big lever we have when it comes to maximizing revenue is to see those patients more frequently. And so we want to make sure that instead of coming in maybe once a year, we get them in twice a year. And that means, you know, things like your recall system, creating compelling reasons for the patient to return for their treatment. Maybe it's about pre-framing the timing during treatment planning and case presentation so they know what they're doing, the sequencing of it and so on. Maybe it's about tailoring a hygiene recall so that instead of the default 6 months, maybe it's, you know, maybe a 3 or 4 monthly recall with someone with, you know, perio concerns or something like that, right? And so that's the second big lever. And the third big lever is to increase the size of the transaction. And so that could be increasing your case acceptance. It could be increasing the range of services. It could be increasing your fees if you haven't done that for a while. Maybe it's about not giving discounts and giving away money. Maybe it's about utilizing all the numbers that you can do ethically and within the you know, parameters of what's appropriate. And maybe it's payment plans or anything else, right? So those three big levers is what we use to increase revenue, to see more patients, see those patients more frequently, or increase the size of the transaction. And what's really interesting around this is that a lot of people kind of get a bit overwhelmed with that. And I want to simplify it because I think if we can simplify it, we can see it. And if we can see it, we can do it. And the reason I want to simplify that is this, is each of these changes compound one across the other. So if you've got 1,000 patients and you increase that by 10%, you'd have 1,100. If you saw those patients once a year and you increase that by 10%, you would see them on average 1.1 times a year. And if you had $1,000 as the average size of the transaction and you increase that by 10%, you'd have $1,100 as the average size of transaction. I've just used those numbers for easy maths. But the point being is you would end up with a 33% increase in revenue by having 10% increases across the board. And so those changes compound. And it's really important to understand that those changes are relatively small, they're relatively minor, they're easy to do, but they're also easy not to do. And sometimes we think that those small little changes don't add up to much, but they do. They add up really quickly because they compound across. And so if you want to increase your revenue, then it's really important to make sure that we pull each of those three levers. Now, you'll have more opportunity in maybe one or two of those levers than others, and that's totally fine. You don't have to pull each of those levers equally. You'll know where the opportunities lie for your practice. But it's really going to come back to seeing more patients, seeing them more frequently, and increasing the size of the transaction. And if you do that, as I said, those small changes compound out, and you can get radically large changes in your revenue at the other end. And that's really, really important. So when it comes to managing or generating cash flow, revenue generation is clearly part of that, right? But we've also got to look at the other parts that go into cash flow maximization. And so when it comes to cash flow maximization, we've spoken about the revenue side of the situation, but we also need to look at the expenses. Now, if you think about your expenses, typically, if you look at your profit and loss statement, your expenses will be divided up as, you know, cost of goods sold and, of course, operating expenses. And we need to be able to reduce both of those. Now, in a dental practice, the cost of goods is typically around your lab fees, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe it's about, you could make an argument that your wages represent a cost of goods, or some of your wages do at least. So maybe there's things like efficient rostering, negotiating how those rosters work and so on and so forth. Your operating expenses, you want to make sure that you're getting a return on all of those. You want to calculate what they add up to. You want to ask for better pricing if you can get it, and so on and so forth. But those are the items that you might see on your profit and loss statement. But equally, there's things to maximize your cash flow that lie on your balance sheet. And most dentists that I know don't look at their balance sheet that often. And I think it's really important to understand that we've got to be aware of the three financial statements, which is your P&L, which most of us are familiar with, your statement of cash, and of course, your balance sheet. And when it comes to your balance sheet, the things I really would encourage you to have a look at would be managing your work in progress, making sure that your lab work is completed and it is inserted and you are billing for it as quickly as possible. Don't drag the treatment out. Make sure you're collecting that money for each step of the process. So if you're doing multi-phased treatment, obviously collect the money for each of those phases as you go. Don't wait to the end. You want to make sure that you don't have too much outstanding work. So managing that work in progress is really key. That's the first thing on your balance sheet. The second one is accounts receivable. Obviously, if you've got money that's owed to you, you want to get it in. So collect that money. Don't delay. And most people, I believe, wouldn't have too much in accounts receivable. But if you do have bad debts, then make sure that you collect it. Usually, bad debts occur if you're offering payment plans and people miss the payment or their credit card changes or whatever it happens to be. But make sure you're getting that money in. Equally, when it comes to accounts payable, you're often given terms to be able to pay within. So maybe it's 7 days or 30 days. So you can absolutely use those terms. Now, just to be clear, I'm not saying don't pay your bills. I'm absolutely saying you should pay your bills. It's the ethical thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And it makes good business sense too, because we want people to continue to do business with us. So if you owe someone money, make sure you pay it. But if they give you 7 days, you're well within your rights to use those 7 days. And so the whole idea around cash flow management, ideally, is to get that money in as quickly as you can and to pay it out as slowly as you can within reason and within the terms of any agreements that you have. And of course, the last lever when it comes to maximizing your cash flow is inventory. Managing inventory days, I think, is something that lots of dental practices do extremely poorly, really poorly. And I know, in the past, I've done it poorly too. We've tightened up a lot over the years and we've become pretty good at it now, but we weren't always good at it. And if I go to most dental practices, I'll go to the consumables cupboard or the stores cupboard, and I'll see things sitting down the back that have either gone past the use-by date or things that probably will go past the use-by date. And so what we want to be able to do is to make sure that we don't have too much stock. Having too much stock is like having cash sitting on that shelf that you can't use. It's like money that you can't convert into cash flow. You've spent the money, we now need to use it so we can get the patients to pay for those services that utilize those materials. And so what that really looks like is, streamlining your ordering. Sometimes I think that we have too many things in our cupboards. We've got a bonding system for that. We've got a bonding system for this. We've got another bonding system for the thing that we do once a year. And I'd really encourage you to streamline the types of materials that you use. And I guess the inspiration for this, for me at least, comes from Southwest Airlines in America. And they're regarded as one of the most profitable airlines on the planet. And the reason they're profitable is they have one type of aircraft. It's a Boeing 737, which means one type of spare parts. It means one type of training, one type of tooling, one type of everything. And so if we take that lesson into the dental practice, I'd say one type of composite, one bonding system, et cetera, et cetera. Try and find that system that you can use for just about everything. I know that as dentists, we all like our toys and all that sort of stuff. And the big risk, though, from a financial point of view, is you've got this stuff sitting on the shelf that doesn't get used quickly. It might not go off, it might not get wasted, but it doesn't get used quickly. And what we want to be able to do is to turn that inventory over quickly. So an example of a company that does this really well is Dell Computers. When you go online and you order your Dell computer, what happens is the Dell warehouse in Austin in Texas has all these satellite factories around it. And so you might have the motherboard factory or the keyboard factory or the screen factory nearby, and they'll send all their parts to the Dell factory itself, where the computer is assembled and shipped. Its inventory days is 4 hours. So from the time that they take that order to the time that they ship that order is 4 hours. And that means they're not holding stock. That means that they don't actually have to maintain inventory. And when you compare that to other types of businesses, and I'll just use a non-dental one as an example, I was in a menswear shop the other day, and they have to buy all their suits, their jackets, their trousers, their jumpers, all those sorts of things. They don't get to buy on consignment. They have to stump up the money and buy it and then sell it, which means the guy that's running the menswear store has got hundreds of thousands of dollars of stock that he then needs to try and sell quickly to get over that lump. And so in dentistry, it's the same for us. We run the risk of having too much stock sitting on our shelves that we have to then sell. And so I'd really encourage you to streamline the type of products that you hold, have the quantities mapped out so you know what to hold and how much of it to hold. Use an inventory management system. There's some around, I won't mention by name, but you'll know the ones. And they're great. You know, use them because it's going to help you keep money in your pocket. So if you're going to maximize cash flow, we want to obviously maximize the revenue, which we spoke about. We want to reduce our operating expenses. We want to reduce our cost of goods sold. We want to collect our accounts receivable. We want to use payable terms where we can to pay out as slowly as we can, but within, you know, what's fair and reasonable and agreed upon with our vendors. We want to manage our work in progress so we're not kind of taking too long to complete work so that we can bill for it as we go. And we want to manage our inventory. So when it comes to maximizing cash flow, that's really it. But of course, we've then got to manage cash flow. And when it comes to managing cash flow, the concept of profit first is something that, you know, Mike Michalowicz has been talking about in his books. And it's a great book, but it's not a new concept. It's been around forever. Many of you would have grown up with the idea of a 10% account or a rainy day account, and I certainly did. And it's basically the same principles. So it's really important that as you have money come into your bank account for your practice, you quarantine some money for tax, you quarantine some money for operations, and you quarantine some money for a rainy day bank account. And I love the idea of a rainy day bank account because when something happens, you know, COVID, for example, then you're covered. You're not going to be, you know, thinking, oh my goodness me. And we saw during COVID that a lot of people prior to COVID were focusing on their revenue and they're, you know, proudly announcing their numbers and figures, and good on them. But those same people when COVID came around were then worried about their cash flow, and it's because they didn't have cash reserves. And so it's great to focus on the top line of revenue. I'm all for generating revenue, but I'm also for maximizing cash flow, and I'm also for making sure you put some aside for a rainy day because it does rain. And a lot of people, you know, when we're working prior to COVID, just going, yeah, Jesse, I've got this rainy day bank account. I could use this for that or do it for this, whatever it is, right? And my advice to them was like, don't touch your cash reserves. Don't spend it, because when it rains, you're going to need it. And if you don't have it, you're going to really be stressing. And of course, it did rain in the form of COVID. And those same practices that had their rainy day bank account were able to sleep at night because they knew that no matter what happened, they could pay their bills. They had cash reserves for up to 6 months, some of them, even longer for others, you know, even a year. Now, I'm not suggesting you need to have cash reserves for a year, but you figure out the time that's right for you. And that gives you peace of mind. It allows you to sleep at night. It allows you to know that no matter what happens, you're going to be okay. So cash flow is the oxygen that keeps the business alive. So remember, we've got to generate it, and that includes revenue generation, and then it includes maximizing cash flow with the other levers we spoke about. But once we've generated it, we've got to manage it, which means we need to put money aside for the tax man, we need to put money aside for operations, we need to put money aside for rainy day, and we also need to put money aside to create wealth outside the practice. And that is, again, a really underutilized strategy that people miss. And so you want to make sure you're building wealth outside the practice deliberately, consistently, and according to a plan, not just kind of going, oh, what's left over, I'll invest that. You want to have a financial plan for your practice that allows you to generate enough cash flow so you know that you've got enough for the tax man, enough for your rainy day account, but equally enough for you to invest comfortably so that when you get to the end of your career, you're able to live comfortably with assets in place, financial resources at your fingertips, and so on and so forth. So anyway, I hope you find that really helpful. And as I said at the beginning of the show, cash flow management is key. It's a number one skill that business owners need to have, because if you don't have it, businesses don't stay in business. It's as simple as that. It's the oxygen that keeps the practice alive. And I think that a lot of people just kind of get by without really mastering this, because dentistry is a high income game. We've got to make sure we're a bit smarter than that. We've got to make sure that as the market changes, our degree of financial sophistication increases. We've got to know this stuff. We've got to know how to read financial statements. We've got to know how to decode what's happening in our business off the back of that and make decisions. And so I hope you find that helpful, and I look forward to talking to you very soon. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.